Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What Did I Get Anyway? The talk show.
Well, our goal is to make the world a polite place to live, one person at a time. And here are your hosts, HR and customer service expert Denise Harding, and etiquette and image expert, speaker and author, also known as Etiquette Lady Donna Page.
Right.
What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show? Today is Sunday, November 6th, 2011, and we are broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia, where it has been a picture-perfect day. Well, this evening's topic is Health and Kindness, Part 2. I'm Donna Page Riley, also known as the Etiquette Lady.
And good evening. My name is Denise Harding. I am the HR Lady.
Happy Sunday, Denise.
Happy Sunday. Beautiful day. Beautiful.
Hasn't it? I mean, just absolutely the weather is perfect. Beautiful sunshine. It's cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But it's dark now, huh? Because we just, what was it, we changed time. And we gained an hour.
That was this morning.
We gain extra darkness now, though, huh?
Exactly.
But anyway, guys, thank you all for spending part of your Sunday with us. Again, the name of the show is What is Etiquette Anyway? And since it's a question, we need to provide an answer. We thank our new listeners because we know that we do have new listeners joining us each week, and we know that our audience is also made up of all ages. And many of you, again, are listening for the first time. Welcome to our What is Etiquette Anyway family. Well, etiquette basically is a fancy word for manners. Etiquette is a fancy word for manners, and it comes from a French word meaning ticket. It's also first and second of England copied the rules from the French court, and these rules of behavior became popular everywhere in the world. So if you don't necessarily remember the backstory, just simply remember to mind your manners, okay? Before we get into the topic, we're going to go ahead and give you our call-in number, which is area code 347-324-3295, 347-324-3295, or you may email us at etiquetteladies, and that's etiquetteladies@gmail.com. Denise, of course, you know, we begin to get several emails already, so we know it's going to be an exciting show.
Yes.
Well, October was Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and last week we introduced Health and Kindness. Now, today we'll continue our focus on women's health and kindness, and last week, our discussion was centered around breast cancer awareness, and since our doctor from one of the local breast care centers was unable to join us due to an emergency, she did forward some great facts that we shared with you on last week. Now, in addition, Melissa Belial, who's a registered dental hygienist, she gave us some great information about keeping your teeth clean, what to use, and then much more. And if any of you out there missed our show last week, if you missed that broadcast, I want to strongly encourage you to go back and listen to the archive show. It's some really great information. And Denise, of course, you know we have two wonderful guests joining us this evening. To continue our health and kindness, we have a dentist and a pharmacist as well. So you guys, you might want to grab a pencil and a notepad because I know you're going to receive a lot of really good information. We'll discuss dental procedures, medication. So go ahead and get ready with your questions. And also, we've been talking about some extra kind ways to be kind to women. Now, last week, we mentioned, Denise, if you remember, we were talking about how women are usually under a lot of stress because we handle so many things and make sure everybody else is taken care of. Many times we just leave ourselves for last. And what can we do to change that? And also, Denise, you remember we posed the question of, do we treat ourselves the way we want others to treat us?
Mm-hmm.
So how about that? And so let's talk. Let's go ahead and get in our conversation. What I would like to do is we are going to, let's bring on Dr. Williams.
Are you there?
I am. How are you doing, Miss Riley?
Doing great. How are you today?
I'm very well.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us. I know we talked last week with a registered hygienist, and she was talking about keeping your teeth clean and flossing and things like that. But we've already began getting some emails, questions for you. But if you would, just introduce yourself, and we can kind of go from there.
Sure. My name is Dr. Tammy Williams. I have a practice in Carrollton, Georgia, called Southern Dental, and I've been practicing since June of 2000.
Wow, great. Great, great, great. Well, if you want to, if you have any information you just are dying to share, if you would like us to get started with some of the questions we've received, just whichever you prefer.
Well, I listened to some of the broadcasts from last week, and I thought the dental hygienist that you had on last week did a very good and comprehensive job of explaining, you know, how we should care for ourselves. So unless you have anything specific to your topic, I'd be glad to answer some questions.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We have one, the first one. It says, are tooth whiteners safe, over-the-counter or prescription?
Absolutely. They are absolutely safe. There are no contraindications to bleaching your teeth or whitening your teeth. The only time that we ask our patients not to do that is for pregnant women, because there have been no studies on the whitening gels or the prescription strength or over-the-counters in pregnant women. We ask for our pregnant patients just to hold off on that until after their pregnancy. But it is completely safe. It does not damage your enamel at all. The only side effect to whitening your teeth is it temporarily causes increased sensitivity for some people. So some people will notice that they have an increase in cold sensitivity, sweet sensitivity, even sensitivity to air. But that is temporary, and once you're done whitening, everything goes back to normal.
Okay. Carol, that is your answer, and I thank you for sending that question. And just talking about tooth sensitivity, what are some of the other causes of tooth sensitivity?
Well, the main cause of tooth sensitivity is gum recession. So, and there are several reasons why you may have a little gum recession. One reason is we just get that with age for some people. And for some people, it is more about your habits, your toothbrushing habits, or habits that you may not even be aware of, like clenching and grinding your teeth. All of those things can cause gum recession. And what usually happens is as the gums recede and the root surface of the tooth is more exposed, that is when people experience sensitivity. The root surfaces of your teeth are much more sensitive than the enamel. So for most people who have sensitivity issues, that is the cause of it. But those are really easy to work with as well. You know, we have a lot of good products nowadays that work very well for tooth sensitivity. The main one that we recommend is just the regular Sensodyne toothpaste that you buy over the counter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Denise, I know you pulled emails as well. Do you want to go to
one of yours? I do have. Yes, I do. I have one that says, "Dear Etiquette Ladies, if I am cleaning my teeth 2 times a year, is it okay to do it a third time? My question is because I have red gums about a month before the 6 months. Do you think I might have other issues or need a scaling? Possibly. My friend told me about scaling, and I wanted to know more information. What is the procedure, and how do I find out if I need that?" This comes from Melissa in Detroit, Michigan.
Well, that's a very good question. If Melissa is having her teeth cleaned twice a year, then I would believe that her hygienist or her dentist would tell her if she needed a more thorough cleaning called scaling. So the best thing to do would be to ask your provider if that is needed. But, you know, for most people with healthy teeth and gums, twice a year is enough, but not for everyone. We have patients that are on an every 3 month cleaning. We have patients that are every 4 months. And then we have the majority of our patients who are every 6 months. But if you go a prolonged period of time without having your teeth cleaned, you know, say 2-3 years, it's very likely that you might have to do the scaling procedure in order to get back on track with your regular cleanings. But if she's noticing that she has red, irritated gum tissue, the first thing I would do is just notify her providers, her hygienist and her dentist, and they will help her figure out what's going on. You know, there are several reasons that you could have irritated, inflamed gum tissue, and some are just easy, you know, as hormonal issues, medications, you know, things that are not not always indicating that you need to have your teeth cleaned more frequently. And I hope that helped.
Yes, that was very interesting. Thank you.
And on along the same line, I have two other emails. One says, "How young should you be when you have your teeth cleaned?" And that comes from Carlene from Dallas. And the other one says, "What's the major reason for tooth decay? Is it lack of cleaning?"
Oh, that's good. Well, the American Academy of Pediatric Dentists will tell you that you can see a pediatric dentist as soon as your infant gets their first teeth, which is around 6 months old. But we at our office do not usually see patients until they are 3 to 4. So unless the parent sees an issue before age 3, we start them with their regular cleanings around age 3, 3 and a half. And the main causes of tooth decay are too much sugar consumption, not cleaning well at home, you know, it can always be a factor as well. But I think for us as a society, the sugar consumption is our main factor. You know, we consume a lot of soft drinks and candy and a lot of refined sugars, you know, now that we did not in the past. So I think that's the main reason we have a lot more tooth decay now.
Okay.
And avoiding those sugars is key to preventing tooth decay. That and doing a good job with your home care.
Okay. Great information.
It is. I have a question, if you don't mind, Donna, along the same line.
Mm-hmm.
This comes from Eunice in Houston, Texas. She's concerned and wants to know is it really true that you should brush after every meal? And if so, how do I do that when I work a long day at the office? I need some suggestions on how I can fit a big thing of toothpaste, a toothbrush, mouthwash and dental floss, not only in my purse, but also my busy schedule. And again,
you know, it's great if you're able to brush and floss after every meal, but for most people, you're going to brush and you're going to brush 2 to 3 times a day, and you're going to floss 1 time a day if you're really good. But I can tell her that the most important time to brush and floss is before you go to bed at night. If you go to bed and leave some of the sugary substances that are sticking to your teeth, even though they may be microscopic and you can't see them, if they're left there overnight, that's when they're going to do the most damage. So if you can take toothpaste and toothbrush and floss to work, that's great. If it's impractical for you, I would not stress too much about that. I would just make sure you're doing a really good job before you go to bed at night. And if you can fit that flossing in 1 time a day, you're doing really great.
Thank you so much for that email. And you all, I thank you all so much for listening to the show this evening. For you that may just be tuning in, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We are continuing our discussions regarding health and kindness. And I want to thank you so much. I know you have, Dr. Williams, I know you have 2 small children, and I thank you so much for taking time out of your Sunday evening. I know you're getting ready to prepare them for bed so they can get ready for in the morning. Thank you so much for such great information. We certainly do appreciate it.
No problem. I'm just honored to be on with you guys, and it was a pleasure, and thank you so much, Donna and Denise.
You are so welcome. Thank you.
Thanks again. All right. We want to just dive right in to our next guest as well. Let's see. Gretchen, are you there?
I am, Miss Riley.
Well, hi there. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing just great. If you would, just introduce yourself and, tell everybody who you are, and we'll just kind of go from there.
So my name is Gretchen Newman, and I'm a pharmacist, and I've been a retail pharmacist since I graduated in 1996, which was a long time ago. And I work at a large retail pharmacy chain.
Wow. Thank you for joining us. I know you have a youngster at your home as well, so we're not going to be young either, but we have already, well, let me see. I know we've gotten emails, but let me go to the phone. Callers, I am so sorry. Let me go to extension 4999. Hello. Thanks for calling What is Etiquette Anyway.
Hello.
Hi there. How are you?
Okay.
Good.
I would like to ask. My name is Eve Dorsey, and I would like to ask the pharmacist a question about blood pressure medicine. Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay. I take Benicar, and every time I take Benicar, it seems like it thins my hair. Do you know anything about Benicar?
I have nothing specifically related to that, but, it's certainly your pharmacist, local pharmacist can look that up for you, because every drug can react differently in everybody. You know, it may not be a documented side effect, but that doesn't mean it's the cause. First, I would rule out what could be the more common causes of hair loss, which, thyroid, there's a ton of other issues that could be related to hair loss rather than the medicine per se, but, I think I would start first ruling out those other things and then, but certainly have your local pharmacist look that up for you. And, even if it may list a 1% chance, that 1% certainly could be you. But nothing jumps out for me with that particular drug with that.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for your call. There's an email here. It says, Etiquette Ladies, thanks for doing this show. What's the major difference between prescription
and generic drugs besides the price? This comes from Connie Slater in Maine.
Well, as far as meaning brand name drugs versus generic drugs, I'm assuming the question is?
But, yeah, I'm thinking too as well.
Okay. You know, technically, they have to work exactly the same. They have to have the same absorption, the same release, the same mechanism. They have to work the same. The only difference is the inactive ingredients may not be the same, which in a 99.9% of the time, it won't make a difference in the efficacy of the drug. You know, some people could be allergic to a color that's in the generic as opposed to the brand name, or, you know, a certain inert ingredient that could be a difference. But otherwise, I would feel perfectly comfortable dispensing the generic rather than the brand name. And in fact, in most states, it is, you are required to dispense the generic unless the patient says otherwise or the doctor says otherwise.
Hmm.
That is,
I didn't know that.
And truly, the only difference, there's a few drugs that many physicians would probably rather not substitute back and forth. So, like thyroid drugs, for instance, if you stay on the, if you've been started on the generic, they would prefer you to stay on the generic, and vice versa. If you started on the brand, stay on the brand, just because your blood levels have to be monitored, and that's pretty close. And also blood thinners, such as Coumadin or Warfarin, they suggest that you stay on whatever you were started on, be it the generic or the brand name. But those are the only two that really come to mind that are big red flags. But otherwise, they have to be the same.
Great. Connie, thanks again for that email. There is another email. Dear Etiquette Lady, this message is for the pharmacist. Is it okay to cut your medication in half if you are on a budget? That comes from Mary Smith in Augusta, Georgia.
Well, it really depends on, you know, you don't want to take a lower dose than the doctor prescribed, but, and also if the drug is in extended release form, that you cannot cut. But if it's a regular release medication, such as, you know, a common hydrochlorothiazide, which is a blood pressure medicine, it's certainly fine to cut that in half. If, you know, the dose doctor prescribes you 25 milligrams, you'd get 50 milligrams, you can cut that in half. But you have to be really careful about whether or not your drug is an extended release form, and those are designed to be released throughout the day. And if you disrupt that capsule or tablet in any way, then you're going to release it all at once, and it's not going to be effective for you. Could, you know, cause a lot of issues. So it's real important to figure out what type of release form your drug is. But, you know, that otherwise, if as long as you're getting the dose that the doctor prescribed and the pills aren't too difficult to cut in half, then there certainly isn't an issue with it. But the issue, as long as they're not the controlled release form, then they're fine to cut.
Okay. All right, Mary, thanks for that email. Denise, you want to?
Yes. I sure do. This one says, Dear Etiquette Ladies, thank you for bringing healthy choices to the women and to women in our lives. My question is, how should you go about making sure the medications you are taking do not conflict or counteract with one another? Many of us have several doctors who may be prescribing different medications who may not know what the other is prescribing.
Well, that is an excellent, excellent question. And the number one way you can prevent that is to go to one pharmacy, have all your medication filled at one pharmacy. That way the pharmacist can be the gatekeeper of that. They, you know, we have software, we have our just our personal knowledge of what can be taken with what. And if you're getting a prescription at Target and a prescription at Kroger and, you know, all these different places, we have no idea. You can't check. There's no database that's for all of it. I mean, each store has their own. So going to the same pharmacy is critical, critical, critical. I can't stress that enough. And I certainly know of situations where one patient will have taken a drug, have had a reaction. Well, and it certainly could have been prevented if they had just gotten it at the same pharmacy. And some insurance companies now are doing that kind of drug utilization review as well, but I certainly would not rely on that. I, you know, rely on your pharmacist who's standing right there in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I know it's an issue, too, where some people are required now to do mail order. And in that case, when you don't have a choice, I think just really making sure, having your list, knowing exactly what you're taking, and when you bring a prescription to your local pharmacy, say, you know what, hey, these are the drugs that I'm taking. Can you please review them? And any pharmacist would be more than happy to do that for you.
Okay, great. I do have another follow-up with that one. What if you do have a reaction? Who should you call? Should you call the pharmacy, your doctor perhaps, or go to the emergency room? How would you handle a situation like that?
You know, depending on the severity of the reaction, I mean, if it's a life-threatening anaphylactic reaction, you know, 911, go to the ER if you're having difficulty breathing, rash, that type of thing. Then secondly, maybe not as serious, I would probably call the pharmacist because we're a lot easier to get a hold of than your doctor most of the time. And then in that case, you know, you'd want to follow up. Usually the pharmacist will say, you know, this is what you need to do, or, you know, you're fine. You know, and then they'll give you advice depending on the situation. But I think, you know, if it's a life-threatening situation, obviously 911. And secondly, if it's something that you're just curious about, if this could be a reaction, I would definitely reach out to your pharmacist. I mean, that's what they're there for. That's what they went to school for. And then follow up with your physician based on the advice that the pharmacist gave you.
Okay. Wonderful. Very good. Thank you.
And callers, we do apologize. We've been so inundated with email questions that we've been trying to cover all of those. And if you all are just joining us, yes, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We are talking about kindness and health. And we started this last month because last month was National Manners Month as well as breast cancer awareness month. And I thank you all for listening. If you're listening, just listen to both parts of the show as well. Well, each week we always remind you to initiate some type of kindness.
Now it's time for Random Acts of Kindness.
Okay, over the last few weeks, we have posed a question to ask, which is, do you treat yourself the way you want others to treat you? And we have an email this week. It says, Dear Etiquette Lady, yes, I treat myself once per month. I go to the spa or send myself flowers or get a manicure or pedicure in order to be kind to myself. And this comes from Dana Thompson from Washington, D.C. Dana, you got it. You really do. That's great. And so we do want to certainly, you know, treat others with kindness, but we also want to treat ourselves with kindness as well, especially being women. Well, wow, Denise, what a powerful two-part show that we've had on health and kindness.
Yeah,
great.
Excellent.
Wow, I want to thank all my guests that have been on during this segment. Of course, Dr. Tammy Williams, our dentist, Gretchen Newman, who was our pharmacist that gave us some great information as well as Melissa Belial, who was with us last week. She's a registered hygienist. And thank you so much to the callers that called in and to those of you who sent us emails. We thank you so much for continuing to be involved in the show. Please tell some of your friends about the show. After all, we are attempting to make the world a polite place to live, one person at a time. Never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. Thanks again for listening, and we'll speak with you on next week. Take care. Good night. God bless.
You've been listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. where our goal is to make the world a polite place to live. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next time when we'll discuss another exciting topic.